When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
A lot of challenges facing me this week. And I just started recording without doing very much prep this time because I just got back from running my test run of the character design workshop I'm doing for the Neutral Zone in Ann Arbor for their video game character design event. It's like an all-day thing where apparently, I guess, like 40-something teens are coming from around Southeast Michigan to participate in a workshop where they design characters with me, and then they move over to digital workstations and they turn their characters into video game sprites and incorporate them into some video game frameworks and actually start animating them and making them into interactive elements. So a lot of moving parts in this workshop. This is a little different than what I typically do with my workshops, where I like just come in, teach them how to do a thing, they make a thing, I work with them while they make the thing, and then we're done. This one, there's a television element. They're going to be doing some kind of video sort of what's the word for it? The kids are going to present what they created in the workshop through being videotaped and like having some green screen stuff with them superimposed over top of their character in action. There's a team of people from a local organization who's going to be helping them scan and turn their artwork into movable parts that can move around on the screen. So a lot of people involved and a lot of, like I said, moving parts at play. So that's why we had to do the test run today. And I got some valuable data upon that. But, I guess I can just start there and then I can go into what my big challenges for the week are. You know, when you got a bunch of different artists in a room, even if you only got like five, everybody draws at different speeds and everybody has a different intended outcome for what they create. Like some people just want to work with really simple, easy to draw characters. Some people want to do something really elaborate with a lot of costume layering and, fancier drawings, naturalistic kind of drawings. And so everybody finishes the work at different speeds. Now, that was, in this test run that I ran with teens today, that was interesting data to collect because now I know when I'm working with the game people that I can start filtering students over to them earlier on in the workshop. If somebody finishes at the hour, I've got an hour and a half, and if somebody finishes all their work at the hour mark, cool, go over and start scanning yourself while everybody else finishes, right? So that's good. We got some workflow things ironed out. The other big question mark is in running this kind of workshop, the character design component is something I've been refining and testing in other classrooms, both at the Ann Arbor Art Center, at the Ann Arbor District Library, and a lot of my traveling workshops when I go to different cities and schools. And I've tested this workshop with elementary school kids, adults, and then mixes of the two, but never to just a room full of teenagers. And the workshop kind of hinges on exploring personal history, right? So like one of the pieces of it is I have them write down the first name of, a personal hero, their best friend growing up, somebody who broke their heart, things like that. And asking teenagers to reveal something about themselves like that is not always the easiest thing to do. And I think I was successful in that by only asking for the first name of the person, and I made a big case out of like, I don't want to know who these people are. This is not about me probing into your life and finding out about you. This is about you finding out about yourself. So just write the first name so that you know who the person is, not so that I know who the person is. The important thing here is that you are referring to a person in your life with whom you have an emotional connection. And as far as who needs to know what that emotional connection is or who that person is, that's nobody's business. That's your business. But let's just use that in the framework of the activity that we're going to do. So I feel like I pulled off winning the kids' trust. With my bombastic style, I had hit or miss kind of reactions amongst teenagers. Sometimes they're like, they don't know what to make of this goofy guy who laughs a lot. But I felt like by about, you know, a good 20 minutes in, I had them on board with what I was doing. So that was also good data to collect, is like, just make sure to be cognizant, careful, and empathetic to the fact that they don't want to reveal much about themselves. Some do, but that's pretty, it's not the norm at that age, you know, ages 14 to 18. So I led off with big challenges for the week. So I was looking at my calendar, and I have got an event every night this week. So tomorrow I've got the full performance of the workshop that I test ran tonight, and that's gonna be like all day tomorrow. I'm not gonna be drawing until the evening tomorrow, Tuesday I should say. Wednesday night I got the Webcomics Lab, which I don't have to do any presenting for that, thank goodness. Greg Schiegel of the Steph Said Show, stephsaidshow.com, also the artist of the SpongeBob comics, is gonna be doing the presenting for that. I just get to participate. But because I've led a lot of the comics workshops in Ann Arbor, I do wind up sort of acting as like an ersatz facilitator at these things. I think that expectation still exists, and I'm happy to do it to help people get more comfortable and at ease in this new project called the Webcomics Lab. But eventually, my hope is that like I can just become, just fully fade into being just like a general participant. So I got that. Then Thursday and Friday, I've got comics classes at the Ann Arbor Arts Center. I've got my youth class on Thursday and my teen class on Friday. And those classes are like 2 hours long. And not to mention travel time, prep time. You know, I got to get there a half hour early to set up my classroom, and then I got to be there a half hour later to break down my classroom. So we're really looking at like 3 hours each of those days. And they're all placed just in the right place in the day to break apart the day. And this is where we get to the challenges. So that what that means is that I'm not getting any 8 hour period this week where I can just focus on one particular project. Like I've said in the past, like, you know, RoboForce pages, coloring them take anywhere between 4 to 7 hours. If I only got 3 hours in the morning to color a page, I'm probably not going to finish it unless like by some miracle I find some new shortcuts in coloring in Photoshop, which, you know, I'm always looking for that. But I don't know about you, but for me, it sometimes can be, and I've talked about this before, this flow state thing. It gets difficult. It's a challenge to box an activity into a shorter period of time and then just disengage from it to go do something else. You know, there's something wonderful about having a large amount of time to spend, to like get into that focused flow state and just exist there until the activity or the project is done. But you know, it seems like freelance art of any kind doesn't really permit a lot of that. It seems like a lot of times, even when I'm working entirely from home and not doing a lot of school visits or workshops, my attention gets split between a lot of different things. And you know, it goes back to some of the practices that I've been practicing, this idea of like shifting my focus and keeping my focus on the different things. And I'm going to have to keep that way more in the front of my mind this week, because I'm going to be doing a lot of shifting, a lot of different kinds of events that I'm doing this week. And they're all super, super fun. And I love doing it. And I love advocating for comics. But yeah, shifting from being quiet and just listening to podcasts or audiobooks and just focusing on coloring to then have to like shift gears to go out, okay, time to go out and be a public person again and try to fit in all the audio journaling and keeping track of the audio journaling. Yeah, it's going to be a challenging week. We'll see how I hold up. As it is, I'm looking for places on the schedule to like fit in some naps, because I'm wondering if that will help me maintain that focus. It's like taking like a short half hour nap. I don't talk about that much, but I do try to do that every once in a while, just to try to keep my energy up and also keep my mind's focus. It's easier for me to do that when I'm actually rested rather than, you know, running on fumes, even caffeinated. Yeah, a lot of running around this week. I don't have any other observations on that other than, you know, it just makes me aware that all of my artwork is going to be happening in smaller bursts throughout the day. I imagine this is what it's like for people who have kids, where, you know, the kid's schedule is really what comes first and you sort of find work around it. And I know I've quoted this before, but something John David Guerra of NightmarePro Wrestling.com. He said to me, he's like, you just find a way to get more out of that hour that you get. Like when you get that hour, you don't dawdle. You just sit down and you focus and you get the work done as much as you can in that time. And I think that's the kind of week I got ahead of me. And then after that, you know, it's Thanksgiving week. So I get a week off of teaching. Thanksgiving in the United States, I should say. So I get a week off of teaching and, maybe get a little caught up on some of the other, you know, art projects like Boulder and Fleet, like RoboForce. Those are the two big ones that I want to be putting some extra time into. And I'll probably find that time next week. That's what I'm counting on anyway. So news items. I dropped a new episode of the Saturday Supercast. I mentioned that yesterday in the Thunder Punch Daily. I finished editing it. It dropped into the feed, and it's a full discussion with cartoonist friends about The Adventures of the American Rabbit, a 1986 film, which doesn't come up a whole lot in conversation amongst my creative friends, so I don't know how well-known this movie is, but I remember watching it quite often when I was a teenager. And it was fun to pick apart the story and look at what made it tick and evaluate what worked and what didn't. And I just love talking about cartoons with my friends like that. So you can find it at SaturdaySupercast.tumblr.com. Also, a new page of Boulder and Fleet dropped, so they're still eating. This is the problem with updating weekly and only three panels a page is that it moves pretty slowly, but we're almost to the part where the action begins. But hey, eating scenes are cool too. Everybody loves eating scenes in the Miyazaki films, right? So, and how much better is an eating scene when it's animals? When it's a bear and a bird eating cake, that's pretty great, right? Yeah, boulderandfleet.com. All right, so who am I? Jersey Drozd, comicsaregreat.com, boulderandfleet.com, leanintoart.com. This recording is part of the Art Sound Off Challenge, where my buddy Rob Stenzinger of interactive-storyteller.com and I have challenged each other to record an audio journal of our workday every day for the month of November 2014. And we've invited the world to play along. And how do you play along? You can find out by going to artsoundoff.com, and that has the challenge all laid out. And then there's a hashtag you can follow. If you don't want to play along and like record your own audio journals, you can listen to the ones that other people are making. And there's a lot of great observations going on amongst all these other visual storytellers. Just follow the Art Sound Off hashtag on Twitter. And you can see all the different kinds of reflections, journaling, and observations being made amongst your peers. So I will be back tomorrow with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember everybody.
Today we met some people who had slept for over 200 years. Well, we don't need that much sleep, but it is important to get enough sleep. So here's some things to remember. Don't eat a lot before going to bed. A glass of milk or a piece of fruit makes a good bedtime snack. Try to go to bed at the same time every night and avoid any exercise or excitement before going to bed. Well, good night. Oh, good night, Gringer.